Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Leslie Silva, and Martin Arinaga. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host Martin Arinaga. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Dion de Poitiers said, "Courage is as often the outcome of despair as of hope. In the one case, we have nothing to lose. In the other, everything to gain." Kevin Asano's 18-year journey from humble beginnings, training in his judo coach's garage in Pearl City, to the pinnacle of sports success, where he represented the United States of America at the 1988 Olympic Games in Seoul, Korea. Kevin's story is filled with lessons and insights. These lessons and insights can resonate with all of us. And he's here today to share with us. I've got a special introduction for you to hear, something that was produced that I think would be absolutely not only appropriate, but dynamic. But before we do that, I want you to know the reason why we have this broadcast is to remind you how much God loves you and cares for you and that He's with you. He longs to have a personal relationship with you and for you to know Him. So many times we think about we loving God, but did you know that God loves you so much? Whatever you've done, whatever you've been through, wherever you've been, He loves you. And in Him, in Jesus Christ, there is great redemption. And you'll hear about God's loving grace in a very personal way through Kevin Asano today. But check this out.
Hawaii Sports Hall of Fame, San Jose State University Sports Hall of Fame, U.S. Judo Association Hall of Fame, 1988 Olympic silver medalist, businessman, husband, father, friend, coach, author, speaker, mentor. One dream, one chance, one moment. Years of trials, triumphs, and tears came down to a final instant for Kevin Asano. It ended as a man competing for gold in Seoul, Korea. Kevin embraced the elation of winning while being mercilessly taunted by doubts and disappointments. Yet always, he was certain it was his destiny. He was compelled beyond himself to step onto the mat. Born in Honolulu, Hawaii, his journey began as a 7-year-old boy in a judo dojo in Okinawa. His father called him Tiger because of his fighting spirit. One day during the summer of 1976, his father lit the torch of a dream.
"Kevin, one day you can be the first judo player from the United States to win a gold medal at the Olympics."
The dream grew, and Kevin Asano worked at it.
"If my dad believes in me,"
young Asano thought,
"maybe it's possible."
Each time he stepped onto the judo mat, he was stepping onto a road of a better life, a road of hope and success. Though he was small in stature, he won state wrestling championships and won the high school national competition as a freshman, training 6 days a week, often twice a day in Japan. Judo was consuming, hot, humid, and humiliating. Following success at San Jose State University, he trained again, more intensely in Japan, with the best athletes. In 1984, he failed to make the Olympic team. But when most people would call it quits, he faced his doubts and disappointments and courageously stepped out for another 4 years of vigorous training. Finally, Kevin's childhood dream of competing in the world's most prestigious sporting event was staring him in the face. Thousands packed the international arena. His moment had come. He became the only person from Hawaii to medal in Olympic judo and one of three silver medalists ever produced by the United States of America. A winning attitude, overcoming odds, perseverance, courage, faith, sacrifice, honesty, integrity, character, teamwork. What is your dream? Are you pursuing it? You can get there. Like Kevin Asano, you too can realize your dream. It starts with you. It begins today. When you face your moment, your dream, your chance, there is only one question. Will you step onto your mat? And now, please welcome Hawaii's Olympic judo champion, Kevin Asano.
Indeed, it's a blessing, a real blessing, Kevin, to have you in studio today. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Danny. It's a real pleasure for me to be here.
You know, you are an author, not only an Olympian, but an author. You wrote your autobiography, a very sought-after book, Step Onto the Mat. That's the title, right? Step Onto the Mat, A Journey to True Success. And in it, you chronicle your journey, and it provides, even some thoughtful questions in it. I like that section. There's questions after each chapter. Practical tips for people to live their lives in a much more fulfilled way. But, you're known for your Olympic dream. And not only the dream, but that the dream became a reality. Take us back. How did that dream for the Olympics develop?
Well, I would have to say that part of it was my dad putting that into my heart. Seeing that I was just this little kid, but seeing the potential. I think as a child, you don't see the potential. You're just in there for the moment. Mm-hmm. But my dad seeing the bigger picture, and I guess he took the risk of saying that, Kevin, you could become an Olympic champion. I mean, that's a pretty big dream to give anybody at a young age, but he put that in my heart. So I think from there it's like, well, if he thinks it can be done, maybe it can. Mm-hmm. Maybe this it's looking into it. Because it's not only me dreaming about it or fantasizing about it, but there's actually somebody whom I respect actually says that it could be done.
Mm-hmm. And not only did he say it, right? I mean, it takes a great deal of faith to say that. And then he supported you in it too from the beginning, right? On the quest towards that.
Yes, I mean, as a parent now, I see what it takes to take your kids to all of these different activities. And sometimes I want to just say, hey, let's just stay home for the next couple years. But realizing that both my dad and my mom, mm-hmm. the amount that they gave to take me to judo practice, take me to judo tournaments or send me away on trips. We didn't have a whole lot of money, but they spent a lot of money sending me away on trips. And later on, allowing me to go to Japan. And making the sacrifices. I know my family made some huge financial sacrifices to send me to Japan and to all over the place to get the best training. So it was really their support. Another thing that was very key in my development or going to the Olympics was when I was in high school. Actually, there was a right after my sophomore year in high school, I decided that I didn't want to do judo anymore. I was so, I guess I could say, I was so excited about being a Christian, and I thought, what is the purpose of doing judo, which is this temporal thing that at some point I'm going to have to retire anyway. So how can this judo give glory to God? And I said, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm just going to focus on God and preparing to be a missionary to some third world country in the future. And at that point where my dad brought perspective and he said, Kevin, you don't understand, you won't understand why I'm doing this now, but in the future you will, so I want you to go back to judo. So he in a sense, he told me that I needed to go back, and my heart was not in it at all, and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. But believing that God had a bigger picture for me, even though I couldn't see it, speaking through my dad, I went back into it, and 10 years later, I was at the Olympics.
Wow. You know, you mentioned that you had become a Christian in high school, and so this somewhat of a crossroads in your life took place. Take us to that time when, and describe for us, what was it like for you, Kevin, to become a Christian? How did that happen?
Well, I was exposed to Christianity as a 7-year-old boy when we were living in Okinawa, and I actually prayed the prayer to receive the Lord, but I really didn't know what I was doing. But there was an awareness of God and a love for God. But when I got into high school and I heard the gospel, I understood what the gospel meant at that point. Mm. And at that time, I received Jesus Christ into my life, because at that time in my life, everything was going well. I didn't think I needed anything, but when I heard the gospel, when I heard the good news, what Jesus had for us, the forgiveness of our sins, our guilt, our shame, and the promise of eternal life and an abundant life here on earth, I realized that I was missing out on a whole lot. And that night I asked Jesus to come into my life, and from that point on I said, I don't want to live my life for myself anymore. I want to live my life for God. And so when my dad said, you need to do this, I knew that I needed to obey, because that's what God's word was. That if we obey, that there's a blessing. And Sure enough, by obeying my father, there was a blessing, which would be to fulfill the calling that God had for me.
So as simple as it was, you had a simple response because of your devotion to God. So, you know, you mentioned a few things about God, His love, and abundant life. Take us deeper. What was it about the message of the gospel that really grabbed hold of young Kevin Asano, who had, you know, like you said, everything was going your way? What was it that grabbed you?
It was the story about the lost coin and the lost sheep. That the story was that how someone or this lady had this coin or these coins, and she lost one and she tore up her whole house looking for it. And when she found this lost coin, she was so happy, she rejoiced. And that the Bible relates that how the angels of in heaven rejoice when one lost soul comes to God. And the same way with the lost sheep, how when one sheep was lost, how the shepherd went to look for that sheep. And it relates how God is looking for us. And just by that story, as if the word of God came in, opened my heart, showed me that there was this big hole in my life, that I was looking for something, not realizing that I was looking for something. And that answer was Jesus Christ. And He was looking for me. He was calling me back. And so right at that moment, I said, this is what I need. This is the thing or the relationship that will fulfill all of my needs or that hole in my heart.
You know, Jesus tells three stories in staccato fashion in that passage that you're describing, Luke chapter 15. The lost sheep, the lost coin. And then, of course, He talks about the lost son. I mean, I encourage you, if you haven't, as you're listening, you're thinking, wow, where is that in the Bible? You know, check out Luke chapter 15 and just read that. Let God's word, the love of God so strongly jumps, if I may use a figurative language, jumps off the page as it did in not in a startling way. Well, it may be shocking for you to know how much God loves you, but in a way that really gripped the heart of Kevin Asano. And, you know, that's the whole thing. We're here, right, Martin? I mean, to remind people that God's love is far greater than we can fully comprehend. But it's also such that we can receive the love of Jesus Christ. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk more with Kevin Asano. Because, you know, on the way to the Olympics, getting a medal is something. Making it on the Olympic team is something. But getting there? Wow. That's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother story that we need to get a glimpse of, at least, while we have Kevin Asano with us today. Because through that, there are some nuggets, invaluable jewels that can apply to our lives, to your life, and make it better. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more from Kevin Asano.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii radio show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Martin Arinaga, and our featured guest today, Kevin Asano. To find out more about Kevin Asano, you can go to steponto the mat.com. That's all one word, steponto the mat.com. That's the title of his book, his autobiography, Step Onto the Mat, A Journey to True Success. And of course, to hear more of Kevin Asano and to hear this show and other shows like it, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org.
You know, Kevin, as we talk about your journey to your judo accomplishments, I have to think that getting to where you were, where you became, wasn't an easy road. It took you far from home. You were in maybe foreign place, maybe even a different language. I'm sure you have hit headwinds or challenges along the way. Can you share perhaps some of the challenges that came your way, and what in your heart and your mind were you thinking that enabled you to get past those challenges?
One of the biggest reality checks was when I decided to go to Japan and train with the best in Japan and literally the best in the world. At that time, I had just graduated from high school. I was a junior national champion. I was a state champion in judo, state champion in wrestling. So I was pretty much at the top of the world in my age and weight category in the United States. So I had this feeling that, well, I'm the best in the United States. I can't be that bad. So I had a strong confidence that I would do well in Japan, even amongst the best in Japan. Well, I got there, and the dojo or the training hall held about 70 black belts. And these men were all recruited from around the country, the top judo players. And at that time, the university, Tokai University, was the number one university in Japan. So they were the number one university in the world. And as soon as I grabbed the first guy, and in a matter of a seconds, I was on my back because he threw me. I realized that I might be out of their league. And so that first day was very humiliating. In fact, it went on being thrown, pinned, choked, armbarred. Basically, it seemed like at ease, like I was a white belt. I had my black belt again. I was a national champion. And I felt like a white belt as soon as I grabbed them. I could feel their strength, and with ease they would throw me. Mm-hmm. And that went on not just for a week or two, that went on for 2 years. And during that 2 year period of time, I thought, who am I kidding to think that I could go to the Olympics, let alone win a medal? I'm getting beaten up here by these, yes, these are some of the top guys, but it's not even a contest. And so it really began to wear on me that maybe this is just a fantasy. Maybe it's not meant to be. No doubt it was a good experience, or it was going to be a good experience, but that's all it was going to be.
I'm thinking that if I was Japanese, I'll say, oh, look at this American guy, let's have fun with him. So maybe they were being extra tough on you too. But you know, you were there because I guess by choice, whereas some of us, I've never been in that situation, but we're just doing a regular deal. We go into a gas station and challenges come our way. The challenges attack us. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference, do you think, for someone who really isn't ready or prepared for challenges and get hit by challenges versus you had a goal, you just had to overcome these to get there?
Well, I know what you mean, because I feel those challenges that come at me every time, sometimes every day, where I have the challenges at home or at work. But yes, I did go out to meet the challenges by going to Japan. But I think that's the kind of attitude that we all need to have as Christians. Or if we want to make a difference in life, we can't just let things happen to us. We need to go out and to engage in whatever battle it is. Because it is easier just to stay back and do nothing. But if we want to make a difference in life, if we want to look at the end of our lives and say, yes, we did what we were called to do, then we need to go out there and we need to take some risk and go out there and do something.
Now, if we just take a parenthesis for a moment and just fast forward a little. And okay, so here you are, Kevin, you know, almost a couple decades beyond that. Now you're a father. You're married to Mari. You got four children, three daughters, one son. You have your business owner, Pacific Wealth Strategies LLC. You're a business partner with Dell Fujinaka. You have a nonprofit organization, Personal Transformation International. Some of these things that you and Martin are talking about, you're sharing these challenges, right? Gas station challenges, but now you're at Tokai University facing this challenge with 70 black belts and getting thrown around for 2 years. What made you stick it out?
It all goes back to what I felt was God's call on my life. And the thing that kept me going where every other day I said, what in the world am I doing here? Or why should I get out of bed today? I could just pretend that I'm sick and just stay in bed. The thing that got me out of bed, the thing that got me into the dojo to get beaten up every day, was this calling on my life. realizing that this is what I'm supposed to do. Now, whether or not I make the Olympic team or win a medal, I don't know if that's going to happen, but this is what God's called me to do. So it's that clear indication that this is the vision that's placed before me. I need to fulfill. I need to be, at least be obedient to the call, and we'll leave the results up to God.
Now, you're indicating how your faith had impacted you. So give us a little hope. Now, after 2 years, what changes did you see in your competitive level with these top-level Japanese judoka?
After 2 years, I found that not some of the weaker guys couldn't throw me as much as possible. I think by the end of 2 years, I could actually maybe throw one person in the whole of all the 70.
And that was progress.
Yes, that was progress. But then coming back and competing with nationally here in the United States and even internationally and actually placing, you know, I didn't realize the level of competition that they had at Tokai, because many of the guys, or a good handful of the guys, they were the top in Japan. We had some that placed in the world. One guy actually won the world championship 1 year. Hmm. So I was really competing with the very, very best in the world. And so that helped to propel me. And it wasn't until another 4 years. So there was 4 more years of preparation before I actually reached the level that I did, the Olympic level. But mm-hmm. It was a process. And I think if I could look back now and do it over again, I would have taken the longer-term perspective, because it was just like, okay, I'm not there, so I'm never get there. Mm-hmm. I think it's a longer-term perspective. I'm not here, but maybe in 4, maybe in 6, maybe in 8 years I'll get there.
You know, that's a long time to be at something, and also knowing that, or feeling comfortable that this is your calling from God. I'm sure there are many people out there, I think, are in a situation maybe asking the same question that you have to ask yourself. Am I in the right place? Am I doing what God wants me to do? If so, why is it so hard? Why am I getting beat up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are some of those the promptings or signs, if you want to call it? How did you know throughout these years that this is indeed and consistently, this is where God wants me? How did you know that?
I think there were different signs as far as whether or not I was on track. Number one was, again, going back to looking at the circumstances or how I felt God spoke to me, realizing, no, it just wasn't coincidence. I feel it was God. But there are other things as well. One area was I progressing? If I could see progress every day, even though as minute as it was, then I said, okay, I'm along the same track. So maybe they couldn't throw me in 10 seconds. Maybe it took them 12 seconds to throw me. Say, okay, we got some progress going.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, just kind of encouraging yourself along the way, and then hearing from the instructors, or say, okay, we can see progress. So I think one thing that kept me going was, is there progress? I think if there wasn't that hope, then I would have said, you know what, this just isn't it. So I would have just shut it down and say, okay, it's not going to happen.
So you didn't just get there. It was really just a small steps in the right direction.
Yes, right? Small steps. And knowing that I'm going to jump into this, and if God wants me to go some other direction, he'll make it clear that he'll nudge me in a different direction. But there was no nudge. It was just the green light, just keep going, even as difficult as it was.
Right.
You know, this is the first part of a series with Kevin, and I've titled it. Of course, we're still in our overarching series, Hope in a Time of Crisis, but this one, Life Lessons on the Journey to Success. In this particular segment, Reaching for the Summit. Now, here we are with Kevin in Japan at Tokai University for 2 years, making incremental change, but it seems at times by the day minuscule. You have what I would think is an extremely mature view of things, where you say if you had to do it back over, you would look at it more from a long-term perspective. you know, when we're young and vigorous, we want things fast. And that can relate in all aspects of life. Now, what you mentioned, and we mentioned it in the opening piece, was that, you know, it 2 years after you were going to compete. Now, this is up to 1984, right? You're competing for that 1984 Olympics, which was held in Los Angeles. That was a historic Olympics. That's where Carl Lewis, the great track star, made his name. And then so many others. And you competed for that. But as you did, which was supposed to be, in your mind, well, that was the apex, something happened. And I think the profundity, the depth of what you're sharing, Kevin, will take us even deeper. And sometimes, you know, just by listening, we grab some of that too. Or maybe, shall I say, it grabs some of us. And may it grab us and our character in a way that God can use it to better our lives. And through us, better the lives of others. You know, when we come back from our break, we're going to hear from Kevin Asano. And one of the great things I appreciate about him is that he doesn't hold back. He shares straight from the gut. You know, in our day and age, we need that. People that will talk straight with us. But he does it with finesse too. And it's easy to take. But the weight of it, the substance of it, is still there. You don't want to miss it when we come back, because it'll hit you in a gentle and loving way even more. I can't wait. Can you? Don't forget. Don't leave us now. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with more from Kevin Asano.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm very grateful for you joining us today. I'm here with my co-host, Martin Arinaga, and our featured guest today, Kevin Asano. You can find out more. You can hear more. We've got more shows from more featured guests, people that will really be a blessing to you. But more than that, you can invite others to listen in. Just have them go to thegoodlifehawaii.org, and it'll inspire them. We've got some resources up at our website, thegoodlifehawaii.org, or you can contact me via Facebook. Just go ahead and go to Facebook and get in touch with me that way.
Kevin, let's talk about 1984. You've been in Japan practicing for years. You've had, really up until this time, your lifetime with one goal in mind, to get into the Olympics and come back gold medal. 1984 comes around. That was Los Angeles. And your opportunity comes up. So you put on your gi, tie your belt, and you get out there. Can you tell us what happened that year?
Well, actually, in 1983, at the last competition before the Olympic trials, I didn't place high enough to be invited to the Olympic trials. So I never got a chance to compete for a spot at the Olympic team. I didn't even make the qualifying rounds. So it was a very big letdown being in Japan and training and feeling that God had called me to go to the Olympics and having that as a dream and thinking that I was supposed to be there but not even getting a shot to try for the Olympic team. And as you can imagine, anyone having that big of a dream, any athlete or any person having a big dream, what a letdown that would be. And at that point, I said, you know, I don't want to do this. I can't do this anymore. It's just too hard. Understanding that I was going through beating after beating in Japan and thinking, already in the back of my mind, thinking that I'm just fooling myself to think that I can be at that level. And so at that point, I said, you know, it's just not going to be, it's not supposed to be for me. I'm just going to hang it up and become a normal person. Graduate from college, get a job, get married, have kids, and just live the normal life. I can't see myself going another 4 years doing this. If this is how tough it's going to be, I don't want it. Because I don't want to come to the end of 4 years again and be disappointed and look back.
Kevin, just give us a little glimpse about, we talk about beatings, right? Daily beatings. And it's hard to comprehend for someone that's not in the judo world. But take us back to the weather in Japan. Take us back to how long you trained. You know, what it's like to get choked or to have an arm bar. Describe some of that to us. How you would sleep sometimes. I mean, you know, in the kind of weather conditions that existed there. I mean, some people in America, they might be thinking it's posh. You know, they might not realize that there may have been some Spartan conditions there.
Well, Japan as itself is a beautiful country, and as a tourist, I would love to go there and I would love to live there, but it was bad. I mean, we didn't even have a flush toilet. You had just, there was just a hole in the ground. And this is modern Japan, though, you know, in the mid 80s.
Sure.
But still,
sure.
I had this hole in the ground if I wanted to use the bathroom in my dormitory. You know, the practices being so difficult on top of getting beaten, you have the weather elements. And I remember one time being in my room, it was so hot, there was no breeze, I didn't even have a fan, no air conditioner, and I felt my food coming out. Just sitting in my room and thinking, what am I into? What am I getting myself into? Or in the winters, we would get up and have practice at 5 o'clock in the morning, it'd be so cold, and not having a heater in my room.
No heater in the room.
Sleeping with my judo gi on because it was too cold to change, and just sleep with it on, and then go straight to practice. So I think the combination, and then being there, not being able to communicate the language, not being able to express what I was feeling, and being like feeling like an outsider. On top of when we would go on runs, I would be the last guy. And remember, I was a national champion in the U.S., always running in the front, now being in the last. Or during weight training, they'd have to take off the weights for me because I was the weakest guy. So on top of the physical hardships, just the mental beatings, thinking, this is crazy.
Okay, now this amplifies you not even getting a chance, really, to compete for the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Then, so you don't even have a chance to compete for it. And here you are now, after all of that, day after day, season after season, weather change after weather change, no heater, no flushing toilet, freezing, steaming hot, whatever condition it was at that season, you're feeling like, that's it, I'm done.
See, it's one thing when everything's going well that you can put up with hardships. But when things aren't going well, that's when things get difficult. So it was the physical as well as the mental. Not to say that I wasn't progressing. You know, I would go to tournaments and I would place back here in the United States. So I could place in some smaller international competitions. But still, I was so far away from my goal of the Olympics or even winning a medal. It became, you kind of weigh the cost of what you're doing. So in 84, thinking, do I want to put in this much effort for another 4 years with the possibility of coming up empty-handed, did not appeal to me. So at that point, I says, no, I'm not going to do this. Remember telling a friend, I am not going to do this. I'm 99.99% sure that I'm not going to pursue judo.
Yeah, but we're running out of time here, so we need to fast forward here. So from there you are, just totally depressed, given up almost, and then, of course, the rest of the story. So what was your journey like from that point, from the time says, I'm done, I'm over, yet you went on to, like you said, get back on the mat. Something happened. Can you share that?
Well, that's what I would say is the God factor, because apart from God, looking back, I know for sure that I would not have continued on. And it was a very frank conversation with God. I said, God, I hate judo. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't see myself doing this anymore. I given my time. I thought that you had said for me to go, so this is what I did. So I've done what you said. Now it's time for me to move on. But still, there was that tugging like in my heart, saying that I needed to compete to continue on. But my emotion said, and my logic said, no, it's just a waste of time. I don't want any more pain and suffering. But there was that tugging. And finally, I came to this point where I said, okay, if this is really you, God, speaking to me, then you have to change my heart. You have to change my attitude. You have to give me an overwhelming desire to train again, because it's just not there. And I thought that was a safe prayer, because, if you know, knowing where my mind was. But I went to church one evening, and by the end of that service, there was such an overwhelming desire, as if God met me right there and infused me with this desire and passion to continue on. And that's what propelled me. And for the next 3 years, 3.5 years, the thing that I would always come back to when I felt like, am I crazy? Am I supposed to continue on? Was that night where I felt God had put that desire in my heart, and I knew that it wasn't myself.
All the way from being totally, I am not going to do this, to, yeah, this is what I want. So what a change.
Yeah. And it wasn't an emotional thing. It was something more, and that's where God came in and changed my heart.
Would you be open to God like Kevin was open to God? I mean, you know, just would you be willing to pray a prayer just to say, even at a point of complete exhaustion and discouragement, at a point where you just really, you give up. And we all come to that point at some very... doesn't necessarily happen all the time, but it comes, it happens. But would you be open to God, to say, God, you know, I'm going to be open to you. And to let God move in your life like he did in Kevin Asano's life. I mean, Kevin, I'm listening and I'm thinking, gee whiz, that's like a... Like God supernaturally infused in you. Like you said, it's not an emotional thing. You weren't working yourself up. It's just like God placed something in you that was going to give you like a divine passion that would carry you, you know, on to the next 4 years, which I guess as we come back, we can hear more about how it reshaped your whole attitude as you entered into the Olympic competition to make the team for one, and then to continue on. We've got to hear that side of it, because it comes to this turning point, and then how God carried you all throughout, but your attitude, your mindset, and your heart, so close to God through the whole process. Can you share more of that when we come back, Kevin? That will really make a big difference to you, Martin, and to me.
Absolutely.
And to our listeners. Thanks for being with us, Kevin, and I hope you're back with us when we come back from our break with Kevin Asano.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Martin Arinaga, my co-host, and our featured guest today, Kevin Asano.
Kevin, yeah, I keep thinking about your story about when you went back to church and it was a turning point, really. It was a defining moment in your career when whatever it is you heard in a church service, you went in just broken, given up, and say, I'm not going to do judo anymore, to somebody who keeps referring to that service and that whatever it is that you heard as an anchor for future hope. How much can you just share a little bit of what was said during that service or what happened that gave you such an impact?
We had a guest speaker at the time, and his name is Lauren Cunningham, who's the founder of Youth with a Mission. And that night he spoke about missions and going to these countries and sharing the gospel. And missions had always been something in my heart. And remember I shared that when I was 16, I wanted to give up judo because I wanted to prepare for missions.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he spoke about missions, about going as a missionary, I realized that God was calling me to be a missionary through judo, that I was to go to the countries of the world, not as the traditional missionary, but as a judo person. And so I realized that, yes, that point that I could do judo and that I could be a missionary at the same time, sharing the gospel. And what better way to be able to go all over the world and to share Jesus with other people. And that was my platform. That's what I was good at in judo. So that really inspired me and gave me this huge desire to continue to do judo, realizing that I could be a missionary for him in a very unique way.
So you heard the call about be a missionary, but I guess you disconnected before he said in judo. It took you years to get back to that. So then, okay, so God now is very much part of your judo. Can you share with us from that point on how judo and missions fit together?
Well, from that point on, again, I knew that it wasn't about me, that it was all about God, that if there was any glory, it was going to be glory to God. So going into the Olympics, I said, Lord, it's not about me. I want to give you all the glory. That was one of my goals that I had, that I wanted to give God all the glory in what I did, whether I won or lost. I was going to be a great winner or a great loser, and I was going to give my best and showcase that to the world.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier about you were good but not great. Can you just
elaborate on that? Now that I have over 20 years to look back on my career, and looking at my physique, looking at where I was in training with the best in the world, always behind, always seeming like I was behind. I could win nationally. I could win in local tournaments. I could place internationally. But knowing that I really wasn't good enough to be the best, like place in the top three in the world, realizing that. But the big difference in my life was that God was in it, that the Holy Spirit infused me, because he said, Kevin, you go and I will be there with you. So it was by my obedience, it was by training and working hard, and then God saying, okay, now I'm going to come in. So I realized that even in my life, I'm good at things, but I'm not the best at things. But when I excel, I realize that it's God that helps me to excel. And so I look at that as great hope for everybody out there. You may not be the best. You may be wondering, how can I make a difference in this world? Because I really don't have all the skills, all the talent. But if you're just obedient and you go and you do what God says, then God comes in and he brings a supernatural aspect that you cannot do on your own. That results become now supernatural instead of natural.
Beautiful, beautiful, and amazing. That's the true good to great. You know, this book written recently, right? Well, not so recently anymore, but that book, Good to Great, I mean, you're talking about the supernatural power of God bringing out the greatness that was placed in you. That's the God difference. That really is. And the Lord God wants to make a difference in your life as well. You who are listening, this is a divine moment for you too, and we're here to just encourage you too, that God has a reason. Kevin, someone struggling right now, a parting shot, what would you say to someone who's just needs, I mean, there's been a lot of boosting up today, but just a parting shot for someone who needs a word of hope.
I think everyone wants to be significant, wants to make a difference in this world, that if you're a Christian, you think, I want to, when I die, when I face the Lord, I want to hear the Lord say to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I think that's in all of our hearts, this heart of wanting to succeed and to be successful, to make a difference. And again, I come back and I look at my journey, and I say, "Lord, this is all I have. I'm not the smartest guy. I forget a lot of things. You can ask my family. I even forget my daughter's names. I'm not the smartest guy. Not the smartest guy out there. For sure, I'm not the strongest. I'm not the greatest businessman. There's a lot of things that I'm not. In fact, I'm not great at anything. But I say, God, this is what I have." And the same way with you, you can say, "I'm not the best. I can't do anything where I can say that I'm the most talented at." But I can say, "Well, God, this is what I have. And all that I have, I give to you. And whatever gifts, talents you've given me, I'm going to use that to the best of my ability. And Lord, come and infuse me with your Holy Spirit and bring supernatural results from my natural efforts." And I think that's a word of hope for all of us. I'm encouraged myself as I go on. Yeah, with...
And I'm hopeful too. Aren't you, Martin?
Yep, so I'm just listening here and getting, okay, let's go. I've got stuff to do now.
You know, for most people, winning an Olympic medal is enough to carry them for the rest of their life. But after all, it's such an extreme accomplishment for someone to achieve. But not you, Kevin. Not you. And God has given you bigger vision. You're doing even greater things today. In fact, your Olympic summit actually became a launching pad for the greater things that you are doing today. So much so, we have to have you back for the next part in this series. And something I want to call Insights on Taking Off from the Top. And that's a special program that we want to have as a follow-up to this. And if you got something out of today's show, and I believe you have, you're going to get something even more in our next broadcast. TheGoodLifeHawaii.org. Go ahead and check us out there, and invite someone to visit us as well. Our scripture for today, Psalm 31:24, King James Version: "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you today to Kevin Asano and my co-host, Martin Arenaga. I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with our technical producer, Leah Rodriguez. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll